Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a special edition of the Brew University Virtual Roundtable. On this episode, I'll be sitting down to talk with Dr. Bruce Moskowitz about COVID-19 vaccines and how to answer some of the most common questions people may have about the vaccines and their effectiveness. So thanks for joining us, and now let me introduce our special guest.
My guest today is Dr. Bruce Moskowitz. He's a doctor of internal medicine affiliated with Mass General, and he is John Taylor's personal physician, and he's here today to talk to us about COVID-19 vaccinations and answer some of the common questions and concerns that may have some folks on the fence or feeling hesitant about getting vaccinated against this disease. So obviously there's a lot of questions that some people have. And of course, you know, we would encourage everyone to see their regular family physician about any personal or distinct medical questions. But I think in general, in the realm of the COVID-19 vaccines, there's been a wide range of concerns and hesitations, ranging from the absurd end of the spectrum to, oh, they're putting microchips in us and using it to track us, which is nonsense. But all the way to the other end that might have some folks feeling maybe not resistant and maybe not that they wouldn't get vaccinated, but they're waiting or they're hesitating because of some of these types of questions. And I think those are the folks that we want to try and really reach through to and say, you know, the best time to take action is now. And one of those first questions that I know I hear often from our population and our workforce is that, you know, this is a new type of vaccine. It's technology that's been studied for the last 20 years. It's been in labs, it's been in testing, but this is the first wide-scale deployment of what are known as these mRNA-type vaccines. And I think some people are concerned about the possibility for long-term side effects that haven't had time to show up yet. What would you say to folks who are maybe hesitating or wanting to wait a year or two to find out, you know, what could come down the pipe from this type of vaccine being deployed?
It's a wonderful, important question to answer. First, some history about vaccines. In the 1780s, a physician noticed that the scourge, which was smallpox at the time, which was a very, very painful death, did not occur among those who milked cows or worked with cows because they had a similar disease called cowpox. And from that observation, the physician simply scratched people who were exposed to smallpox or would be exposed with cowpox from cows. He scratched them with a stick, and sure enough, they did not get smallpox. And that led to the smallpox vaccine. Fast forward to 1950s, polio was a disaster for the United States. Children were becoming ill with a severe paralysis, winding up on something called a lung machine because they couldn't breathe on their own. And the country was frantic to see all these young children, and our President Roosevelt got polio, as did some adults. And two enterprising physicians came up with a untested vaccine at the time. One was actually polio itself, the virus, which they modified to make it not virulent, but enough to protect you when injected. This was unproven technology. However, in the 1950s, everybody took polio vaccine. They thought it was their civic duty to protect children from a vaccine that they had no idea what the ramifications or the risks were. They just lined up, as did I and my parents and any parent in the 1950s. You did it because you wanted to protect the children around you. And lo and behold, there were no reactions, no long-term side effects, and we got rid of polio. In the 1980s, two Italian gentlemen who were at a minor university in Italy stumbled upon the fact that bacteria are resistant to getting infected with a natural enemy, which are viruses. And they thought that was quite interesting. And indeed, they wondered how bacteria did it. Well, it took the next several years to figure out that bacteria simply took a scissors that they produced that could cut the viral DNA that would otherwise affect them. And all our bodies, we have 30 trillion cells. However, we have 40 trillion bacteria that you're born with that have to keep themselves alive to keep you alive. Because if we don't have those bacteria, we can't absorb basic iron, B12, and everything that keeps us alive. So every day in your body, the bacteria are using the same technology that we're giving them the shot that they've used for 3 billion years and have proved its effectiveness, and also have proved that it doesn't affect our bodies whatsoever. And it protects them against the common cold virus, the influenza virus, and a multitude of thousands of other viruses that would have affected them and destroyed them in our guts. So indeed, this is not new technology. It's probably one of the best technological innovations, and it's been productive and safe for 3 billion years, as long as bacteria have been around. So for us, we have a high confidence level, better than we ever have with any vaccine, whether it was the polio vaccine, the measles vaccine, the flu vaccine, that this is more tried and true and a safer vaccine than we ever had before.
The next question that I think a lot of folks, again, and you know, our population has been working since the pandemic broke out. They've been frontline, firstest line essential employees. They've been in retail, you know, for well over, you know, a year and a half now. And we've had certainly our share of cases within our population, and we've had, you know, a couple that have been pretty severe. But for a lot of our folks, I think there's this feeling that, you know, I've been out there for 18 months and I didn't get it. I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm generally not really afraid of getting this. And if I do, maybe I'm not super worried about my ability to handle it. I think we have a lot of people in our population who would kind of say that for themselves, they don't necessarily feel like they're high risk. And that's a reason that they feel like they can just skip this. Again, not that they might say no other is to just say, well, I don't feel like I need it. I don't feel like I'm high risk. What would you say to those who are in that bucket of feeling like this isn't something that they personally need to be worried about?
It's a perfectly excellent question. And I've been in my office since last March. I have not left that for a day. We swab and see about 25 COVID patients a day since March. We've all been at risk in our office. We take the maximal protection we can, but we're still at risk. We've seen from age 13 up, I can tell you without question, it is frightening to see what we're seeing now. And we see young, healthy people with no disease, physically fit, not overweight, no health problems from age 13 to age 40, come down with a mild case of COVID. 6 months later, I'm consoling a family that their 13-year-old has diabetes because the virus is smart. It can hide in the pancreas, which produces insulin that prevents diabetes, and destroy it. And now you have a child or a young adult who's going to be on insulin the rest of their life. It's a disaster. The other disaster that is very tragic and getting more prevalent is the new strains, because this is the South American winter and this is the Florida summer. A lot of people from South America vacation here, and they're bringing a strain that, yes, you will get a mild case, and no, you won't get into the hospital, but months later, you will either get diabetes. Now we're seeing total hearing loss that does not recover. We're seeing heart disease that does not recover. The amount of what we call post-COVID long-term side effects that are severely problematic are increasing, because the strains that are coming across outside the United States are highly contagious. So we're asking everybody to look around you. If you have family members, whether they're children or parents, even if you think you're fine and you do not want to take the vaccine, you're going to protect them, and you're going to protect the child from getting diabetes. You're going to protect an adult parent who's on chemotherapy, or someone you come in contact with and doesn't know that they're on chemotherapy, or a child with leukemia, and prevent them from dying. Just like we did in the 1950s, this was a civic duty to us. But more so now, because we understand the huge risk this does, even if you are not hospitalized 6 months to a year later. And I have a very nice triathlete who's one of the top 10 in the country, who's willing to tell his story. He had a mild case of COVID. About 8 months later, he couldn't run a quarter of a mile. He now needs a heart transplant. The virus is one of the most interesting viruses we've ever experienced. It has the ability to hide in the brain, the liver, the kidney, the heart, the pancreas, and stay dormant and slowly destroy the organ without us knowing. So that's why we're saying, please, think of those around you and think of yourself and get the vaccine. It's virtually unequivocal that the virus is mutating and it will be on the attack and it'll be easier to be a communicable disease. So that is why.
That's great information, Dr. Moskowitz. And I think that's an outstanding point that a lot of people aren't thinking about is it's not just what COVID does to you in the near term, but in the long term. And I'm not sure a lot of people have heard much about these long-term effects and things coming up, you know, months or weeks, year, you know, a year after the initial infection. The third common objection that we hear, which is, you know, that obviously when it comes to COVID, we've learned a lot in the last year and a half. Therapeutics have advanced. We have a better sense of what to do when someone gets sick. And there are probably some people who are saying, you know, again, maybe they see themselves as high risk, but they also say, yeah, but the therapeutics have gotten so much better and we know so much more and now they know what drugs to use to treat. And again, does that make getting vaccinated unnecessary for them? Or is it still, you know, what would you say to someone who thinks therapeutics are the answer?
Another excellent question. So we do have therapeutics, and the therapeutics are superb at preventing death. However, those who get the therapeutics still get the long haul syndrome, still are subject to severe diabetes, loss of hearing, loss of taste and smell, which doesn't sound like it's a big problem, but it is, and loss of a lot of other functions because even though we give these cocktails, the virus, interestingly enough, gets into the brain. The cocktails do not. Once it's in the brain, it's a very smart virus, smart enough to take in oxygen from surrounding brain cells, kill those surrounding brain cells, and keep its brain cell alive. So that's why we have these post-COVID people who feel fatigued all the time, weak, tired, or having other neurological problems, because this is exactly what it does. And it does the same in the heart. It does the same in the pancreas. It does the same in the lung. So yes, we'll prevent you from dying, but we will not prevent you from all these maladies that you will make your life miserable for an eternity.
Excellent, excellent point, doctor. Absolutely. And a big part of how people should be doing their risk calculations and taking all this into consideration. Last one for you, which is, you know, for the folks who have had COVID, maybe got it in the early stages and have already been through it and feel like natural immunity is enough. What would you say to the people who are, you know, are past the 90 days and eligible, but feel like, you know, I've had my COVID, I should have natural immunity now?
And you do have some natural immunity, and we're happy that you do. It's a great thing, but we know it doesn't last. We have umpteen cases, and we're getting smarter by the day, that those who had COVID get COVID again. They will get a milder case, but the long-haul symptoms that we can totally prevent with the vaccine on top of your COVID antibodies prevents you from getting the side effects that we find are disastrous because they're so long-term. Again, the same ones I mentioned, the diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, this is preventable. So we want you to get a vaccination. We encourage it. The other issue for you to know is that you had COVID. However, your chance of giving it to a child, a loved one, a parent, someone who you meet out in the street who's on chemotherapy is very high, because the natural immunity does not protect you, your nasal passages, or your oral cavity from transmitting COVID like the vaccine does. So again, we ask you to look around, do it for your child, do it for your parent, do it for the fellow worker who may need treatment for another disease, because this is going to help stop the spread.
Well, Dr. Moskowitz, these are great, great points to consider, and I really appreciate you taking the time to answer them for us.
And every worker should know we have a policy. We donate our time just like we did for the AIDS epidemic. They may email me. They can call me on my cell phone and ask personal questions that won't be repeated to anybody.
We really appreciate that very much, Dr. Moskowitz. We'll make sure to put that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for allowing me to give an explanation to a very important health issue.